Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the next episode of Crosscut Maker Podcast. And it has been a little bit since I did the last one. It was on October 22nd, and today is December 29th. So it's been more than 2 months. And if you have been listening to these podcasts over the past several years, they're pretty much eschatological updates. I do a little bit more detail on these podcasts. But I do the primary ministry that I do on Crosscut Maker on pretty much all social media platforms. And I also have three websites. The one I do, the End of the Age Indicators, is eoa-ind.com. And my main website with everything, including links to the other websites, is crosscutcom.com. And gospel30.com is a website I have that's just a 30-second biblical presentation of the gospel. So, like I said, I mainly do the ministry online now. I don't do a whole lot of podcasts. I used to do more, but now I just pretty much do updates every now and then. Usually it's once a month, but like I said, it's been a couple months. And there has been a whole lot of things that have occurred since the end of October. And we'll go through some of those today. And also, we'll look forward to 2023, which could be an incredible year for prophetic fulfillment, and we'll talk about why. So, like I said, you know, if you're just the first time you tuned into this, what I do, I'm very, very cautious when it comes to prophetic tracking, because it can become more than it ought to be. But I do believe Scripture teaches that we, although we have no idea of the day that the rapture will occur, that'll be the next event that triggers everything else. And the day and the hour, I believe, refers to that day, and nobody has any idea what day that is. And anybody who ever sets a date, sets a week, sets a month, sets a year, sets a decade, any kind of time frame where they say it has to happen within this time period, and in particular a day, then you can immediately discard almost everything else they say, because it's a clear command not to try and call a date for Christ's return, which the first stage of that would be the removal of the church. And so, very careful on that. But I think what you can see, and this is what we do here on the podcast, this is what I do on the eoa-ind.com website, is what you can see, and I believe we are seeing, is what happens after the rapture. You can see a setup for that, and that is what is the last 7 years of human history that precedes the return of Christ to the earth. So the next event will be Christ returning, in the sense where he leaves heaven and then he gathers his church up to be with him and takes them back to, he actually leaves heaven, and then the rapture occurs and he takes glorified believers back to heaven. And then, not exactly on that day, but I believe in the very near future after the rapture, then the 7-year tribulation will begin. And that is triggered by a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. That's what actually begins the tribulation period. So the rapture does not begin the tribulation period. A 7-year peace agreement involving Israel does. But there's all kinds of descriptions of things that happen during that 7-year time period. That is what I believe, how you can know that it's not going to happen in a vacuum. Like the rapture, that's a signless event. There's nothing that has ever had to happen before that occurs. And still to this point, there's nothing else that has to happen before that occurs. It's what we call a signless event. But the tribulation period is different. There's going to have to be a necessary build-up to that in order for the things to take place in the tribulation period. For example, one of them is you have to have the nation of Israel, because the last 7 years of human history, the tribulation period, is primarily, it's the reason we call it the tribulation period. One of the reasons it's called the time of Jacob's distress. The primary purpose, there are many purposes of the 7-year tribulation period, but the primary purpose of it is to purge Israel to its believing remnant. It's about Israel. And so in order for you to have, obviously, Israel purged to its believing remnant, you have to have the nation of Israel back in play. And obviously, since 1948, the nation of Israel came into existence again, and that's one of the very, very key indicators. And so now we do have the nation of Israel. We have had them for more than a half a century, coming up on three quarters of a century. And so that's one indicator where it just couldn't happen without the nation of Israel being in existence. And so you see these things building up, and others, like we'll talk about a little bit, global government, one world religion, necessary technology to enforce the mark of the beast. All these things are not going to just happen overnight. They're not going to just happen in a blink of an eye. Now, theoretically, could the rapture have happened 200 years ago and none of these indications that we are seeing now that the tribulation is closed? Just there would have been a large gap between the rapture and the... of course, theoretically. And could theoretically that happen? You know, the rapture would happen and then you'd have a large gap of time. Theoretically, that could happen. But based on what we're seeing, many people who study eschatology... is the reason people are excited and believe that the rapture is very close, because you can see what happens after that developing. And so that's what we do here, carefully. But like I said, if you want a broad summary of what I see, I do update it once a month usually, is the EOA-IND.com. It kind of gives a summary of everything that I've been seeing for probably about 3 years now, is where, you know, I've had interest in eschatology since I got converted in 2006, but it has increased over the past 10 years. But it really, really has caught my attention to, I believe, what we are experiencing now are pre-tribulation birth pangs now, where COVID kind of triggered everything to get the ball rolling, and to the point where I don't believe it's turning around. I don't believe there's any possibility that the world is going to turn around from these birth pangs, that this will eventually lead to the 7-year tribulation period. Now, again, I can't be absolutely certain of that because I don't know for certain, but I'm as short of certain as I am. I mean, whatever is closest to certainty without being certain, that's where I'm at with it. And it pretty much every time I have one of these podcasts, I open it by saying I believe more firmly than I did last time that we are approaching the tribulation period, because things just keep accelerating towards everything indicating that what happens during the 7-year tribulation period is being staged by God right now. And we need to remember that God is the one staging these things. Often you hear people who study prophecy and they see what's going on. You see this push for global government and these other push for one world religion. You kind of think they're believing that these people are like planning the tribulation period themselves. They're planning this world takeover, planning this one world religion. Not in the sense where they're trying to fulfill prophecy. Again, they will fulfill prophecy, but that's not their intentions, obviously. They don't even believe the Bible, these people who participate in the evil side of the tribulation. They don't even believe the Bible. You know, the Antichrist will never know he's the Antichrist until maybe after he sees Christ returning and that's the end for him. But he, in the meantime, he's an unbeliever, obviously. If anybody's an unbeliever, it will be the Antichrist. So all that is to say that God is setting the stage for the tribulation period, not man. But I do believe with near certainty, 99.9999% now, that he is setting the stage for the very, very, very near future tribulation period. And I don't set times, dates. I just think it's going to be close. It's very near. But time will tell. So we have had a lot of things happen since the end of October. And I'll just kind of summarize some of these. Like I said, I point you to the website if you want to get a little more detail on that. And then we'll kind of, there's about four or five things that I really believe 2023 could be incredibly significant. You know, again, I'm not saying that the rapture will happen in 2023, but of course it could, because it's in the future. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying there could be some real significant things happen that would advance it towards the tribulation period. If not, things get completely, accelerate into it. And of course, we had elections since the end of October, both the U.S. midterms and the Israel election is probably more important when it comes to what we're talking about. U.S. midterms, everybody kind of expected a red wave, a flood of Republican gain in the Senate and the House, and it didn't come to fruition. They gained the House, which I was personally glad for, just to balance things out. But they didn't gain they did not take over the Senate. But what I took from the midterms is that they seemed like the issue. Now, of course, you know, I live in the United States, and the issue over here over the past year and a half, especially, has been inflation and the economy. It's been very, very difficult for many people. And so that's why everybody kind of assumed you're going to have a red wave at the midterms. But it turns out it didn't. And the primary reason appears to be that the fact that Roe versus Wade got overturned. And it's sad, but it seems like the independent voter that kind of decides a lot of the elections, that was such an issue that it was important enough. It was more important to keep the right to kill our unborn children than it is to get some fiscal sanity in the political realm, that it went a different way. And I'll leave it at that. All right, but with the Israeli election, that was, you know, really significant in my opinion. And if you have been paying attention to my website or the podcast over the past year and a half, I really thought it was significant that Benjamin Netanyahu was removed from office, because I never thought he would be somebody who has the personality or the politics to make a tribulation type agreement. And so when he got out, I thought this is really significant when it came to Bennett and Lapid and their political ideologies. I thought that they would be the perfect government to make a tribulation agreement. Obviously, I was wrong, because now Netanyahu has been, he's actually just today, kind of why I waited to the waited till today to make the podcast, is just to make sure it actually, when it officially came to pass, that he is now prime minister again. And so that surprised me. But, you know, as I said just a minute ago, that God is the one setting the stage. And I probably had a little higher view of Netanyahu's influence when it comes to spiritual things than I should have. God's in control. He doesn't need, no man can thwart the will of God when it comes to the timing of his end of the age events. Like I said, if you've read my material over the past while, you would recognize that I was surprised by that. But now, you know, thinking it through now, especially in light of what he's bringing and what he said, and that's what we're going to get into here a little bit, is he seems like he actually would be the perfect fit now that you kind of know who he's bringing in with him. He brings in an incredibly right-wing block of very conservative, very religious group that he will be bringing with him. But he's also said some things about the Abraham Accords we'll get into, and some other things that I believe will, he actually will be the right person. And will he be the one to sign the tribulation agreement? I have no idea. This government, I believe they are for 4 years. Very similar to ours, but and over the past, if you follow Israeli politics at all, over the past, they've had five or six elections in the past 5 years. Their governments are very unstable and they can dissolve very quickly. But this one seems to be a little more stable, a little more likely to last the entire 4 years. So if that gives Netanyahu 4 years as PM. You know, like I said, unless I'm reading things completely wrong, he'd be likely involved in the tribulation events, but a lot of things can change. But regardless, so a couple things I'll point out, though, is, like I said, he brings a very religious block with him, and they will certainly and have, will affect one of the, if not the primary tribulation indicators, and that is the Third Temple. They will push for the Third Temple in a way that the other government would not. Now, again, that doesn't mean it will necessarily get done. I have always believed that the Third Temple will be part of the Tribulation Agreement. It's what gives Israel the right to build their temple on the Temple Mount. That's what kind of gets them to sign the deal. Because, you know, the reason it is a primary indicator of the Tribulation period is because Scripture teaches that the Antichrist will sit in the temple, and he takes it over and claims to be God himself. He stops the sacrifices that are going on. But that all that means is that there, the only thing we know for sure is that there will be a third temple in operation at the midpoint of the tribulation period, which would be 3.5 years into the seven. So it doesn't mean that the temple has to be built before the tribulation period. It just means it has to be built and in operation before the first half is over. So my thought has always been it will be part of the agreement. It will be built in the early part of the tribulation period. Actually, not be built before the tribulation period, but be built in it. And then they think it could take a year. They could get it up and running in a year. And then you would have sacrifices going on for a couple years until he commits what is called the abomination of desolation. And so you definitely will have this religious bloc that has a very, very powerful sway in this government, pushing for not necessarily the third temple, but in that direction, more rights on the Temple Mount and things. But you definitely see how they could fit into, if they are the government in Israel at the time of the tribulation agreement, that they would certainly be interested in the third temple. So he brings that bloc with them. And he also, in regards to the peace agreement, you know, we talk about the rapture is not the beginning of the tribulation, but the beginning of the tribulation is the signing of a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. So that's where a lot of prophetic scholars will pay attention when they're, and there has been, obviously, if you, since the inception of Israel again in 1948, there has been nonstop, you know, desire for peace in that region, because we, you know, you have Israel, basically a Jewish nation in the midst of very, very hostile Arab nations. And so you've had this tension since the very day they came into being a country again, a nation again. So the peace process really began in 1948, but it's been kind of fluctuates up and down. But now, over the past several years, you have had a very, very increased desire for a broad Middle East peace, which I think that will be what the tribulation agreement will be. It won't be just between Israel and one. It says it between Israel and the many. There'll be many countries involved in this. So it's going to be a broad peace agreement. It might even be a global peace agreement, where it'll be a Middle East agreement with other things attached throughout the world. But it certainly will be a broad Middle East peace agreement. And so, in a big, you know, chunk of what it might be, and this is what over the past, and something else that happened within the last 3 years, is the Abraham Accords. The nations around Israel, and there's three of them and a half, United Arab Emirates, the other two are slipping my memory at this moment. But there's, I believe there's three signed with him, but kind of stalled out when Netanyahu was involved in signing the Abraham Accords. And when he went out of office, nothing really gained on that. But now immediately, since he has been the prime minister designate for about 6 weeks now, like I said, he's actually been installed today. But here's a quote that he has said. He's looking to add Saudi Arabia, which would be the most significant catch of the Abraham Accords. He says, "I believe that peace with Saudi Arabia would serve two purposes. It will be a quantum leap toward an overall peace with the Arab world, and I think it will facilitate ultimately a Palestinian-Israeli peace," which is what he said a couple weeks ago. And he believes, and there's legitimate talk, that this Saudi Arabia normalization that would become part of the Accords is almost a done deal. There's negotiations going, like Netanyahu would cease annexation of the West Bank in exchange for normalizing agreement with Saudi Arabia. And that could be the clincher for Saudi Arabia to join the Accords. And so I think, you know, when it comes to this broad peace agreement that will happen, that will trigger the tribulation period, my thought has been there's three major factors in play right now that would have to be kind of wrapped into one by this man who claims, and who the world will believe, has the solution for everything, including the Middle East. And that is, the Abraham Accords will be a significant part of that. And also, you have the Iran situation, where, you know, Iran is very, very close to having a nuclear weapon, and they have stated their intentions to destroy Israel as soon as they get one. And Israel knows that, and there's been talk for years about preempting that, obviously, with a military strike in Iran. And that would cause a major war in the Middle East. And so there's, you know, trying to, the Biden administration has been trying to redo the JCPOA, but that looks like that's completely dead in the water now. And so you have that tension in the Middle East. And it's probably the biggest tension right now, is because if Israel were to attack their nuclear sites in Iran, that would probably lead to a pretty broad Middle East conflict. So you have that issue. And then the main issue, I think, is the Palestinian-Israeli peace, what I just mentioned in Netanyahu's quote there, is that that is just another, that I've considered to be the linchpin. So those three issues, I believe, will be wrapped into one, some kind of a broad Middle East agreement that will appear to have solved all those issues. And Israel will feel like they are safe and secure underneath this man. And so you have, when you have the Abraham Accords strengthening, and next year, one of the big, big things that could happen next year is Saudi Arabia would come on board the Abraham Accords. And they could actually be part of the Tribulation Agreement. It depends on the timing of things. I could see that actually, you know, being delayed until it is actually part of the 7-year agreement. You'll know the Tribulation Agreement, different than the Abraham Accords, different than when Trump had his thing a couple years ago, his Middle East peace plan or anything else. People, you know, constantly ask, is this the Tribulation? The Tribulation Agreement is very specific. It's a 7-year agreement. Not a day more, not a day less. And so that's what, when people want to, when I want to warn people that they would be in the Tribulation period, it's not even the day of the rapture. It's not even, you know, some big Middle East peace agreement. It would have to be specifically a 7-year peace agreement. And so could the Saudi Arabia be part of the 7-year? It could be. Or could that be, it appears that if it's not, in next year, during 2023, that will become something that gets done. And I think that would be significant, very significant. And so, well, you know, I'll read the quote again, what Netanyahu said a couple weeks ago. I believe that peace with Saudi Arabia would serve two purposes. It will be a quantum leap towards an overall peace with the Arab world. And you see the broadness of that in the Middle East, and I think it will facilitate ultimately the Palestinian-Israeli peace. So you see the other issue there that could eventually be tied into that, all that one issue. And to me, if you can map a track to the Tribulation Agreement, what he just said would be it. That would be just a perfect track on a human level to the Tribulation Agreement. Again, could Saudi Arabia's entry into the Abraham Accords be part of that 7-year agreement? Well, time will tell. Will just be another huge step towards that, but it would be a different agreement. That could happen as well. But it's really significant. It's something that could happen in 2023. All right. And, you know, with regards to the Abraham Accords, the N7, which is Israel and the 6 countries they've normalized with, met in Morocco to discuss future implementation and advancement of the Abraham Accords. Also, Israeli President Isaac Herzog spoke in Washington, D.C. with the same intent. Again, like I just said, I've become more convinced the Accords will be a key aspect of this coming 7-year tribulation triggering covenant. They also met in Rome, kind of the religious side of that. But it was tied to the Accords, and there's this unity of trying to tie everybody together in this unified accord, both politically and spiritually. And so that, really, just the Abraham Accords and its advancement, almost certain advancement under Netanyahu, in my opinion, is a very significant advancement that could occur in 2023. All right, some other things, you know, just mentioning the one world religion that will take place in the Tribulation Agreement, this Abrahamic family house that everybody's been talking about in the United Arab Emirates. I believe it's in Dubai, where, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's basically a church, and I say that quote church, not a church, it's part of Catholic, it's going to be kind of Catholic in its origin, the Pope obviously is involved in this, but no true church would have an ecumenical structure with a mosque and with a synagogue. And so you have the three Abraham, that's why it's called the Abrahamic family house, is they're all three theoretically Abrahamic religions. Again, I say, quote, Christian and Judaism and Islam will unify at this, the opening of this. It's called the Abrahamic family house. You can Google it. And they were supposed to open last year, but I guess construction delays, whatnot, held it off. But it almost certainly is going to open, I believe, in February of 2023. And again, that's just one more push towards unifying the world's religions, which will occur in the first half of the tribulation period. The Antichrist will allow a global one-world religion. Will basically be, everybody will be all together, one big ecumenical religion. Of course, that can only really occur when the true church is gone, because no true believer would unify spiritually with Islam or with Judaism or with Catholicism or any kind of false, perverted form of Christianity. But that could be significant.